go ahead and open your Bibles. I'm going to preach from somewhere else, but I want you to open your Bibles to Psalms 23. How many of you in here, and the boys and girls are going out, I'd ask when they were in here, but how many of you as a child attended Vacation Bible School? You were blessed to do that. Raise your hand. Well, thank the Lord for that. Now, if you were to go in a lot of other churches, they wouldn't raise their hand. 10 years from now, it would not be near as many hands raised as it is here today. And I'm sure thankful we're doing Vacation Bible School, and they're going to be blessed. I'm just wondering, how many of you, maybe the Lord spoke to you about your salvation, and because you attended Vacation Bible School, your family took you, or you went to somebody else, and because in Vacation Bible School you heard the gospel and you trusted Christ in Vacation Bible School. Are there any like that here this morning? And several. Thank the Lord for that. Well, you know what the Bible said? This rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. And if we had one boy or girl saved this time, it'd be worth everything we do and all the expense and all the time and all the effort. But there'll be many that will be helped and blessed. And the theme is they'll be studying the 23rd Psalm in their class. Miss Amanda has a burden to have all the boys and girls from the youngest to the oldest to memorize Psalms 23. Now, Wednesday night, I shared some of that with the Wednesday night crowd, and we read aloud Psalms 23. Now, with our schedule this month, we've been reading, and some of you here who the reading of John, you might think we had enough for 2 months, and it was long, but what a blessing it was. But I want us to read together Psalms 23 this morning. So have you turned to it just in case you don't remember it? And I have it memorized, but if I try to do it without looking at my Bible this morning, I'll probably miss a word. Psalms 23. I want you to read aloud now. You don't murmur. Read aloud for me. And let's begin with verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Read it loud. Surely. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now to give you a challenge. I'd like to challenge you, if you cannot quote the 23rd Psalm, to memorize it this week. And I want to reemphasize what Tim said. If you're not involved in Vacation Bible School, just come on out anyway. You can sit in on the opening part, and then the singing takes place in here. I know Bobby and Lee Langdon used to love to come, and they'd sit right back here at the back. And by the way, somewhere during the Vacation Bible School, your children will get a little cup of frozen Mountain Dew. They'll be climbing the walls when they go home at 8:30 at night. And you can thank Brother Bobby Langdon for that. He's the one, he and his wife got that machine for us, I think, several years ago, and that was his thing. And I thank the Lord for him, for you, amen, being here. Now, having done that, I want you to turn over to the book of Mark. Go to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9. While you're finding your place, let me emphasize again, The reason we're doing a Heritage Day, we'll have homecoming the first Sunday of October like we've been doing. But the church actually, like the first meeting of the church, the folk who founded the church, was in the first Sunday of November. And we'll have those dates for you. We'll have some things to commemorate that, because we're going to do the Heritage Day on Saturday. And we'll have folk here. Chris is working on it. He's got people coming. They're going to have a lady here with goats for butter and cheese and soap and all that stuff. And things like people used to do the things and what the heritage of this country was built on. You're going to be blessed. Now, Sunday morning, we're going to have an old-fashioned Sunday. And we'll celebrate the first organizational meeting of this church. And so there, we want you to be sure on that day to wear some of the old clothing, find you some way to dress up, look like an old-fashioned. And we have an old-fashioned Sunday. I thought one time about having it under an arbor in the back, but we're so many. And besides that, I kind of like the air conditioning. We don't even know the first Sunday in November. But it's going to be in here. Tom Robertson is going to be our special guest. And you'll enjoy Brother Tom. He is a real historian. He knows everything just about the Israel, know about guns, but also about American heritage. He has all kind of things. Tom, well, I may not need to say this on the air, but Tom has been a collector for years, and he goes into auctions up in Northern Virginia, so many old things. And Brother Tom, one time, was at an old auction at a house built in the 1700s, and they'd auctioned off everything, and they had a little box, and it just full of buttons. And Tom saw in there two Confederate soldiers' buttons off his coat. He knew how much they would be worth, and so he bought it for almost nothing. It was almost the end of the auction. He bought this box full of buttons. Going through, he was tickled to death to get those two buttons. But down in there, he found a button that was used when George Washington was inaugurated. Have you ever seen him with a collar, and it'd have a little button right here? Well, there were a limited number made just for the inauguration of George Washington as President of the United States, and Tom Robertson has one. We went with his family. We went to the Smithsonian in Washington, and he showed me one that's there. It's absolutely priceless, but theirs is as not good a condition as the one that Brother Tom's got. He has it framed, but he's going to bring some of his artifacts. He's going to bring some things. You'll be interested, and then he'll preach for us on Sunday. Now, you have your Bibles open, and I want to share with you this morning something the Lord put on my heart. I love Vacation Bible School. I love being around these kids and being involved in it, and I thank the Lord for what He does. We've had so many great teachers through the years, and we have again this year, and the kids are going to have fun, but the main emphasis is going to be the Word of God and get the Word of God in their heart that they might get saved. And the Lord spoke to my heart about that. I want us to begin reading in Mark chapter 9. And look with me, please, if you will, in the book of Mark in chapter 9. I want to begin reading at verse 17. Let me tell you what has happened. What's happened just previous to this is the Lord has taken some of His disciples up, and they've seen Him transfigurated. And then when He came back down, the other disciples who were there was a great crowd gathered around them. And when the Lord approached them, He asked them about what was going on. And now look at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So here's a young man. He has a demon in him, a child in him. It's his son. And he has a demon. The disciples couldn't do anything to help. Listen to verse 19. And he answered him, saith, O faithless and a generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall you suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground, wallowing and foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, as a child, very young when all this started in his life. And oft times he hath cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said unto him, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. Let's leave off the reading there for this morning. I want you to look back at one little phrase in your Bible. Look at verse 19. Notice the last statement of our Lord. There are just four little words there. Bring him unto me. Now, I want to read one other passage of Scripture that I refer to, and I want you to turn back to the book of Matthew now, chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Keep that little phrase in your mind, bring him unto me. But back in the book of Matthew in chapter number 19, I want to read just a verse here. Notice what he said in verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer, that means allow the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the congregational singing. Thank you, our Father, for anointing Brother Joe Berry once again. What a blessing, and how he honored and lifted up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that all things are possible with you, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And I pray this morning for our friends in the media audience and in this building that God, the Holy Ghost, would speak through me. God, I ask, Father, that you'd purge me, cleanse me, and God, speak this morning. I pray that you'd give the people a listening ear and a believing heart. And I pray, God, that, Lord, there'd be help, that, God, will you do something real in some lives. And Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, I confess that there's no good thing in me, and apart from the Holy Ghost, nothing good will take place here this morning. But God, I pray for all the boys and girls who've gone back now to the children's church, for all the workers there, for Vacation Bible School for tonight. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, will work. I pray for real Holy Ghost conviction to deal with children. Lord, I pray that many will come to know Christ, not just emotional decisions, not just decisions by cause of a peer or a friend has made some sort of profession of faith. But God, I pray you'd speak. And Lord, we know you can speak to the heart of children as well as adults. And we know also, Lord, they need to be saved just as badly as anybody else. And God, be merciful this week and save, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Children are a gift from God, and it's probably the most precious gift that we've ever received or you will ever receive. Children in a church are a gift from God. Children keep us lively. Children keep us alert. And children, if you've got one at home, will keep you awake at night. Children are a blessing from the Lord. If somebody comes in here with a new baby, you watch them. You'll look over here, and there'll be a little huddle over there and a little huddle over here. When that baby comes in, everybody's interested in that little baby. And I'll tell you something about children, and you know this if you had some. They can be a blessing, but they can also be a burden. Not only are they God's most precious gift to us outside of Jesus, His own Son, and salvation, they are our greatest responsibility. You're responsible for your children and for your grandchildren to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's when they come into your life, God has entrusted them to you. And you know by your family, you know by the family of others, some children will grow to be filled with the Spirit of God, but some children will grow to be filled with the spirit of the world. There may be in a family one who loves God and wants to serve God. There may be one there who's rebellious about everything else in the same environment, with the same mom and daddy, with the same treatment. And why is that? Because they're just like us who are grown, we who are grown and big. They have inside of them an old nature. They need Christ. And when you think about the life cycle of a child and you begin to think about what's going on, they can be a blessing, they can be a burden, and their old nature takes hold of them, and they won't listen, they won't do this, that, or the other. But there's only one recipe in the passage of Scripture I've read to you for whatever need is in the lives of those children, and it's in verse number 19. And listen what it says once again in your hearing. Bring them unto me. When babies are born, they're always precious. When Regina and I have been able to travel, when I was preaching in places not only in America, but in the Philippines and in Germany and other places, we look at the children. And flying in the airplane, you see little children. They may have an Indian mom or dad. They may be Russian. They may be Chinese. But all the little babies act the same. When you see them playing, I don't care if you're in Germany or if you're in Iran or Iraq or wherever you might be, the children will act like children. But somewhere along the line, something happens. They're in a certain culture. They're in a certain environment. They have certain training. But at some point in time, when they're infants and when they're young babies, I don't care if they're red or yellow, black and white, they all are the same. They'll cry sometime. They'll laugh sometime. They'll just have fun playing, entertaining, laughing, giggling, and it's always a blessing. If you've traveled any at all, you know what I'm talking about. But from the time they're little to the time they get to be teenagers and older, things change drastically. When they're born as a little baby, and they have that old nature in them. We're born with that nature to leaning towards sin, and they are sinners by nature, but it's not yet manifested itself. It hadn't yet taken control of them. They're like a tender young plant. They're kind of like putty in the hands of a mom and dad, a grandparents, to be molded and fashioned, and it's our responsibility to do our best to do that. But regardless of what happens and how it goes, there's still one recipe, and that is bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. When they get to be teenagers, I read this passage of Scripture. Look down at verse 17 again. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody, but there he says a dumb spirit. In another place he says a dumb and a deaf spirit. This child could not speak, and he could communicate, but he was like that. But when I think about teenagers, and I love them to death, we've had four of them in our house. Whenever they are babies, they have a sweet spirit, but something happens to them when they get to be teenagers. That dumb spirit shows up, and then they're dumb, but they think you're dumb. Now, you've done the same thing. Mom and Daddy, they were dumb, but we were really the dumb ones. And after we get grown, we look back and realize that we were dumb and they were not. But when they get to be teenagers, they change sometime. You may have raised them in church. You may have had them in church. And thank God it's not true of all. We have so many around here over these 30 years that I've seen them. They've been born. They were brought to the house of God every day, and they've been in the house of God. And then now they've grown up, and now they're young adults and service deacons and some doing other things and responsible citizens and love the Lord, faithful in service and church. And I thank the Lord for that. But sometimes as they get in the teenage years, things change. They begin to have different thoughts. They begin to go different ways. But there's only one thing that we need to do for teenagers, and that is we need to bring them to Jesus. You need to take them to Jesus. That's the only recipe. Bring them to Jesus. This man said, I have brought my son unto thee. And notice again, if you will, please, when I think about them, when they get up to young adults, many of them may turn their back on everything they've been taught. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to pray. And you come to the place that you throw your hands up sometime. You've done the best you could do, but that's them. That's because of the individual responsibilities of every man, woman, boy, and girl. They have to trust Christ for their self. They have to be born again for their self. And so what can you do? There's only one thing you can do, and that is to bring them to Jesus. Sometimes God will put us in a place and back us into a corner where we have no outs. We've done everything we can do for our children or our grandchildren, and it seems to have no effect. They won't pay any attention to what we say, yet we know they've known different, been taught different. But there they are. And sometimes God does that for us to bring us to a place where we come to realize that we need Him more than ever, and that without Him we can do nothing, and we've got to have Him. And in the final analysis, He's the one who's got to take care. And so we bring them to Jesus. And I'd say to you this morning, they may be grown now. You've tried your best. You've prayed for them. And you've done everything you could. But I'm going to just tell you, as long as Jesus is alive, there's hope. There's hope. You just keep being faithful to God. You just keep witnessing to them and be what God have you to be. You've come to this place to where you don't know what to do. I'd say to you, bring them to Jesus. What could we do? These babies, these teenagers, these young adults, what can we do with them? We need to bring them to Jesus. First of all, you need to bring them to Jesus in prayer. Pray for those babies. Pray for those teenagers. Pray for those adults. And I know that many of you do, but I want to encourage you to keep on praying. Pray specifically for them. Don't ask God just to bless them. He's going to bless anyway. He's a good God. But pray for Holy Ghost of God conviction. Pray for the Word of God to find a lodging. Pray for the Spirit of God to take words and thoughts and things they've seen and heard and all of that in days gone by, bring it to their mind. Bathe them in prayer. Bathe them in prayer. Many of you would not be here. Brother Ray and Miss Dorothy here this morning. I didn't see them right off, and I'm sure glad they're here this morning. But Brother Ray and Dorothy both are believers in prayer. And all that they've gone through, always in her phone calls and in his words, anything, it's always pray for me. And you and I have learned that prayer is powerful. And so you just keep on praying. When those babies, before they're ever born, start praying on them. Mama, you pray and ask God to bless them. Ask God to convict them. Ask God to save them. Ask God to keep them from sin. Start praying for the babies before they're ever born. And then pray for them after they're born, when they're little babies. Talk to them. Pray over them. And pray where they can hear you. It is important for your children to hear you pray. Bring them to Jesus in prayer. Take them to the Lord in prayer. I may have quoted this before, but I used to have a good preacher friend. He's in heaven now. But whenever he'd leave, when you'd meet in fellowship, be together for a while, when he walked away, he said, "Remember now, lift me up when you hook up to that heavenly power." He was wanting people to pray for him. And so you pray for those babies. You pray for those teens. Keep praying for those young adults. Keep praying, believing God. God is going to do something in their life. But then the Word of God, bring them to Jesus through the Word. Put the Word in their heart and life. You ought to read to your baby before they're born. You ought to read the Word of God when they're little. They can't read. They can't do anything. But you read the Word of God to them in their hearing. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It doesn't just start being quick and powerful when they get to be teenagers, when they're still babies in the womb, when they are still babies in the crib. That Word of God's quick and powerful. And you put it into them. You just put it there to start with. Get it in their heart and in their life. Now, you may not believe this, but it's so. We've had young ladies around here who were expecting babies. And they bring them to church in their belly. And they've heard me preach. And whenever they're born, sometime when I go up to them and speak to the little babies, I'm talking about little babies, they react. Because they've heard my voice so much, it's recognizable. And I am blessed and honored by that. But if you'll pray God the Holy Ghost would speak to them, and if you pray that God Himself would speak to them, He can speak to a baby. He can speak to a teenager. He can speak to a young adult. And His Word is quick and powerful. And you need to get the Word of God in them. The Lord instructed Israel that you read the Word of God and teach your children the Word of God. He said, you do it in the house and you do it in the way. While you're riding in the car, while you're going fishing, while you're going here, going there, whatever you on the way to school, you get the Word of God into them and make it real to them. It's not a ritual, it's something real. Get that Word of God in. You bring them to Jesus in prayer, and you bring them to Jesus when you put the Word of God inside of them and make it real to them. But then you bring them to Jesus with your example. The Bible says that people will see you and they want to know the reason for the hope that's in you. That's not just people out yonder, it's people in your house. They'll watch you. And they may turn their back on what you said. They may turn their back on the Bible, on church and everything else, but they never can get away from the life you live. You be real and genuine. Be real. Live a life of testimony to them. But then I'd say that you not only bring them to God, to Jesus in prayer, and bring them to God in the Word of God, bring them to God through your example, but bring them to the house of God. Bring them to the house of God. Keep them in church house. Bring them into the regular services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The Bible is quick and powerful. They may be sitting there scribbling, doing something. I've seen this over the years. And if I ask an adult something I said, they won't remember it. But that child is scribbling. I said, what did I say? And they'll tell me what I said and don't ever look up. They have the unique capacity to be hearing when they're not looking at me. Some of you are looking at me right now, but you're not hearing me. But children are not like that. Everything goes in. They hear it all. You be talking around the house sometime, you're talking about something, you think they're over there playing on their iPad or whatever they're doing. Don't think they're hearing you. They're hearing every word you say. And sometimes they'll surprise you by what they say. But my dear friend, you need to bring them to Jesus and bring them to the house of God. Bring them to camp meeting. Bring them in the camp meeting. You say, well, they won't get anything out of it. No, I'm just telling you, you bring them to the camp meeting. They'll hear the music. They'll see the smiles. They'll hear the amens. They'll hear the Word of God. And it's getting in their mind and it's getting in their heart. You need to keep them around the house of God. As much as you can, you keep them around the activity. Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, Awanas, you keep them there. That's bringing them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus in all those ways. Bring them to Jesus by keeping them around people who love Jesus. They'll learn that people who love Jesus are real people. They have real problems. And there'll be people who will testify about when they had a problem, they prayed and Jesus delivered them. All that'll get in their little heart and in their mind. And they'll know if God will do that for them, He'll do it for me. I remember so-and-so testified and so-and-so did this and God did that. You get them around godly people. You bring them to Jesus in one way by keeping them away from certain things, certain events, certain music, certain environments. You got to keep them away from that and bring them to Jesus. And then as we come to this time of the Vacation Bible School and others, you need to be faithful to have in events like this that are special, a special time. They'll meet friends. They'll have teachers. I can remember Vacation Bible School, and I fixed to be 80 years old, like another time. And I can remember the cookies and the Kool-Aid and all of that. But I remember the Word of God. I remember back in those days, they had flannograph and other things and crafts we made. We got things that our kids made when they were in Vacation Bible School. You need to have them around the house of God. But then you need to, like Paul, Paul said, I died daily. You bring them to Jesus when daily, every day, you rededicate yourself to the Lord. When we dedicate babies, I ask them, in dedicating this baby, do you now also rededicate yourself to raise that child and nurture and admonition? Or are you going to rededicate your life to be faithful to God and live for them? Our good friend, Brother Tom Hayes, is an evangelist from up in the mountains. And Tom said one time, before I had children, I had all the answers. I knew exactly how to raise a youngin' so they'd turn out right. He said, since I've got children, I tell them to pray and do the best you can. And you could testify to that. But the best you can do is to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. I wanted all my children to have a good life. I want them to have a good education. I want them to have good things. I want them to have good families. But more than anything in my heart, Regina's heart, is we want to bring them to Jesus and know that whatever happens, good or bad, they'll be saved and in heaven with us one day. Your children won't always do like you think they ought to. Read the book of the Bible, book of the Kings, you'll see there'll be a good king who did right in the sight of the Lord, but then there'll be their son be wicked and rebellious. That's all through the Bible. That's in real life. But you're going to love them anyway. But one thing about it, if you pour the Word of God into them, it will not return void. And if they trust Christ, genuinely get born again when they're a child, God the Holy Ghost will deal with them. And they may get away. Regina loves to quote that verse in the Word of God. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it's old, they'll not turn from it. And they didn't say how old they got to be before they come back or before they come. But as long as Jesus is alive, there's still hope. We keep praying, and you keep praying. Bring them to Jesus and thank the Lord for that. What does it mean to come to Jesus? It means healing. Not only physical, but it's spiritual. He can forgive every sin you've ever committed. Bring your children to Jesus, but you too need to come to Jesus. Maybe in this building this morning, there's some children. You're not as little as you used to be. Now you're a teenager. Now you're a young adult. And you know your mom and your daddy prayed for you and taught you the Word of God, but you strayed away from it. Now, this morning might be a good time for you to rededicate your life, to live out what they put in your heart, what they put in your life, because one day you'll have children. And you don't need to wait till you get children to get right with God. You better get right with God now. And if you're not saved this morning, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. When you come to Jesus, it means healing. It means blessing. This man with this boy went home, didn't tell us much about it, but the Lord healed him. But their trip back home wasn't like it when it came. He brought a son that was fighting every step of the way, foaming, and the demon inside of him was tearing him up. But Jesus delivered him. I can only imagine in my mind when they were heading home together. And that boy saying, "Daddy, thank you so much for bringing me to Jesus. Thank you so much for helping me to find help. And thank you so much for letting Jesus do. Thank you for believing, Daddy, that He could do something." And they're on the way home rejoicing. I just think about heaven and how you raise your children. They may complain about going to the house of God now, but there'll be a day that they'll say, "Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy, for bringing me to Jesus." Would you bow your heads in prayer for all our friends in the internet and radio audience? This challenge is to you, as it is to all of us here, to bring our children to Jesus. God, I pray, God, that, Lord, the Holy Ghost has got to take hold of them. And God, they'll do that. Lord, I pray that we teach by example. And God, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl in this building that's not saved, I pray they'd get saved. But God, I pray that those who know Christ have been maybe slack in their attendance, unfaithful in their giving, not been reading the Bible, not been praying in front of their children and with their children, that today they'd rededicate their life to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to be faithful, to bring them to Jesus in prayer. Bring them to Jesus through the Word of God. Bring them to Jesus by their example. Bring them to Jesus by keeping them in the house of God, in the revivals, in camp meeting, in VBS, in Sunday school, and Lord, in Awanas and everything else that God's available to them around here. I pray, God, that they would keep their children under the sound of the gospel in association with people who know Jesus, that have real struggles, real battles, that have ups and downs, but yet they know that Christ is the great victor and He's winning it all. Lord, the disciples could do nothing. And Lord, we are helpless in most of these situations. But you said, if you could believe, all things are possible. Help our unbelief. Help us to believe that you can when we can't. Lord, some people this morning are praying about children and grandchildren. They've just about exhausted their spiritual ability to pray. God, I pray they won't quit praying. Lord, as long as you're alive, there's hope. And God, you can change. You can, Lord, you could do a miracle and change those children. Even as they're now young adults, I believe, God, you're able to make them brand new, a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, we believe you could do it. We pray, God, you bring them to a point. Lord, draw them by your grace, and I pray the power of God would be upon them, Lord, to bring conviction and give faith that they might believe. And God, I pray now that you bless our friends here, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. With your heads bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Bring him to me, Jesus said. That's the best recipe in the world. You take him to Jesus. Take him to Jesus. Trust in God to do something. Something you can't do, something I can't do, but Jesus can. Bring him to Jesus. Maybe you've got a daughter or a son or grandchild that you'd like to bring to Jesus in prayer and lay him around here in this altar, not physically, but spiritually. Come and lay him before the Lord once again and say, oh God, do a work in their heart and life. We believe, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And God, we're going to ask you one more time, God, do something. Maybe you're just starting out in your life, got a new baby. I want you to make a commitment in your heart and life this morning that you do what I've asked you to do. Pray over them. Pray for them. Pray around them. Let them hear you pray even before they're born. Help them by reading the Bible to them, sharing the Word of God with them, telling what you spoke to their heart about. Share with their children. Help them, God, to have memories and memorials. They can say to their children, there was a time we didn't have anything to eat and God blessed us. There was a time that we were sick and God healed us. God's been a good God. Help us to testify to our children about the power and the goodness of God. And then, Lord, we're going to leave it in your hands. God, we pray, God, you do a work. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name right now that God's people would obey you. If God's leading you, my dear friend, this morning to be a member of this church, maybe God spoke to you about that. We'd love to welcome you as a member. If you're not saved, we'd love to have pray with you or share with you. But I want to invite you right now, many around the altar already. Will you make a move this morning to come get around this altar for the glory of God?